Backseat Reality, episode number 9.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is, sounds like Julie.
It sounds like her.
Actually, more. It looks it's like her, me. It doesn't her, sound like me.
It's her twin who smokes six packs a day and gargled razor blades before she started. So, we're a week late. We got a lot to talk about.
We do.
Because you were out of town last week.
Well, I wasn't out of town on Tuesday, but I was getting ready to go to town, and I was tired.
You were out of town. Yeah, so we've got, what, 5 shows to talk about?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
6 shows.
2 weeks worth of
2 weeks worth of 6 shows. So,
and one was a big finale. Woohoo!
Yeah, but you know what? I think we'll talk less about those two this week than we have ever. Just because it's kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we have in what order? We're just going straight down the alphabetical
list. We decided to do alphabetical order. The Bachelorette, Big Brother, Expedition Impossible, The Glee Project, alphabetized by Glee, Hell's Kitchen, and Love in the Wild.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump right into The Bachelorette.
Okay. So when we last left our lovely Bachelorette...
She was down to 3.
Was she?
Yep.
Okay, so they'd already done the hometown visits. And they were down to 3.
Yes. She had just booted Ames.
Oh, yeah, Ames. Creepy, he looked creepy, confused. Robotic, confused Ames.
He looked confused.
He always looks confused. It's those eyes that are like a mile and a half apart. And his teeth. So she ends up doing all the fantasy suite dates with all 3 guys. Well, 2. The first 2.
No, she did the dates.
Well, she did the dates. That's right.
She gets to the fantasy suite with Constantine. And I thought this was actually kind of appropriate of him. And he said, you know what? I just don't...
Not feeling
it. I just don't have that knock-me-over romantic feeling about it.
I forget. Did she present him with the card? The date card? The fantasy suite key card thing?
It was the... I don't know if she had actually, if they had actually opened it, or if she had just pulled it out, and that's when he, it was at that moment. It was within that 5-minute span of pulling it out, opening it up, reading the note, deciding to go. I don't remember at what point in that process it happened, but he pretty much cut her off and said, "Hey, it's just not really that appropriate because I'm just really not feeling it.
And there's no way I would be ready to propose to you at the end."
Yeah, it would be kind of creepy at that point. Because he knew that the fantasy suite is the bang-in suite.
They do not.
Why not?
They don't. Because that's icky. I mean, it's more like a day of each other.
It would be icky for the second and third guy. Well, not so much for the first.
Not the first, but for the second and third guy. Sloppy thirds.
Yeah. I mean, In this case, only sloppy seconds because Constantine bailed. And she had a recovery day. She had an extra day to recover, so it's all good.
Well, on top of that, is that when Ryan came back?
He actually came back before the first date. When they showed, how they showed us through the editing process, he came back, told her, "I'm staying here. I would appreciate it if you come see me.
I want to make sure you didn't change your mind about me."
Yeah. Yeah. So she goes on her first date. Then she has the failed attempt with Constantine.
Oh, Constantine was number 2?
Yeah, Constantine was number 2. And after leaving Constantine, that's pretty much when she went and saw Ryan.
Yeah.
And she said, and they talked, and she pretty much let him down. She said, "Look,
not feeling it.
I didn't feel it then. That's why you were let go. Nothing has really changed about it." That, and I'm very happy. I think I found somebody that I can spend the rest of my life with. And he seemed very cool about that. And again, it was just a way for them to do a ratings check to see if
he can be the next
Bachelor. He could be the next Bachelor.
I'd watch it with him as a Bachelor. He was a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. better than Ames. I could not watch a whole season with Ames. The eyes and the teeth would just drive me crazy.
He looks kind of like a horse. Between the eyes and the teeth, he looks kind of like a horse.
Yeah, but he was just a little more pointy in the middle, so the eyes would tip off to the sides a little bit. So then she went with...
JP.
And that was he the last date then?
Yeah, was it JP first or was it Ben first?
I don't remember.
Either way.
It doesn't matter.
One of the dates was JP, the other one was... was Ben. I think it was JP first and then Ben, now that I think about it. So she made a point to tell those two guys, hey, Constantine left.
She didn't tell Ben, she told JP. So she must have had Ben's date before Constantine's.
Correct.
Because she only told JP what was going on.
Right. But when it came to the rose ceremony, she went to both of the guys and said, he left of his own accord. I'm very serious about giving you guys these roses, so let's make this decision now, and let's make sure it's real.
So she still went through with a rose ceremony.
Because she wanted to make sure...
she wanted them to be able to choose to keep participating.
Right, right.
So, of course, they did.
They did.
And that brings us to...
Sunday.
Sunday. Was Mentel All.
Yeah.
It wasn't really all that exciting. I wanted Bentley
to
show up.
It was uneventful. Yeah. Bentley pushed out. surprise.
Even though the editing on the commercials made it look like he was backstage and was going to come out.
Yeah, whatever.
Jerk.
Guy's a tool. Seriously. He's a complete
all
ass.
All the guys went off on Ryan again about he was just too enthusiastic and too nice.
Yeah, those guys were totally intimidated just by how nice a guy he was. And it was it was like creepy how... angry they were at Ryan for just being a nice guy, right. For being genuine.
They had like a 10-minute commercial for the Bachelor pad on there. And Ames is going to be on it, and William's going to be on it.
I didn't see the Bachelor pad commercial, and I'm not going to watch the Bachelor
pad. Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Yeah. No, I'll be editing a podcast or something during that time.
You'll watch it over my shoulder, and you'll still have to...
with headphones on, and...
Bachelor pad is awesome.
You should just take my commentary.
It's like the best parts of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette put together in The Bachelor pad.
And justifying all my skeevy commentary.
Yeah, totally.
Because the fancy suites there, you know, have to be hosed down when they're there. Seriously.
I think just the regular bedrooms have to be hosed down on that
probably.
One. Not just fantasy suites.
Probably.
And Jake and Vienna are going to be on it, and they're going to be fighting, and she's dating the Guard and Protect Your Heart guy, and so he's all wanting to protect Vienna.
That's
awesome. And
wants
to go punch out Jake.
He's
gonna going to be awesome.
He's going to guard and protect her heart.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that'll be worth watching.
See? I told you. And Ames is going to be on it with his horsey face.
Yes. All right, so, the finale.
Finale. Her family all comes
her
to
family
visit.
Dates.
Her family hated JP. Well, her sister did.
Her sister didn't hate JP. Her sister saw that what her sister was doing. What's her name?
Ashley.
God. Her sister saw what Ashley was doing, and she basically thought Ashley was just
not being herself.
She thought that JP was a nice guy who's a little bit older, a little bit more stable, a little bit more mature. Who's showing her the right kind of attention, and she thought she was that Ashley was just jumping at him.
Well, that still could be true.
Right. And she said, look, you don't seem like yourself. This doesn't seem like you. I want to make sure that you're doing this for the right reasons. Then Ashley comes up with the stupidest. I have not purported to call this woman intelligent at all. But what she comes up with next is quite possibly the stupidest thing I've heard in quite some time. At least 3 days.
Okay, go ahead. At least 3 days.
So, her sister tells her off, whatever. And this doesn't come up until the After the Rose ceremony. And part of it came up then, too.
After the Rose ceremony? No. It was after the end of the date with JP.
Yeah, but it also got brought back during the After the Rose.
Okay, I gotcha. Sorry. Yeah.
So her logic was, you told me what was in my head, and because of that, you sound like a bitch. You told me exactly what I'm already thinking. and that makes you a bitch.
She was
what?
Upset.
That
she
doesn't make any sense.
She wasn't thinking clearly. When you're upset, you don't think clearly. Things just pop out of your mouth. She just happens to have these stupid moments on film.
A lot. A whole lot. Okay.
So anyway, Ash is upset, and then she goes and has the date with Ben, and family all loves Ben. I kind of miss the whole Ben meaning the family part.
It was uneventful. The dates, for the most part, were uneventful. The conversations that happened afterward were Ashley getting weepy with her sister after the Ben date, or after the JP date, and everybody kind of saying, yeah, Ben's kind of a nice guy. He's kind of a goofball like you are. And that was pretty much the consensus.
Yeah.
But they drug what I just said in the last 5 minutes out.
45 minutes.
An hour and 45 minutes.
No, the whole thing was only 2 hours.
Yes, exactly.
But because they still had two more dates. They had the last dates. The family visits came before.
Yeah, those, okay, whatever.
So they had one last date, and she had the first one with Ben. And it was fine. There was really nothing happened on it. Then the one on GP, he gave her this little photo album with this cute picture of the two of them and this little inscription inside about how this is the beginning of their lives together. And, oh, it was so sweet. What? What are you looking at me like that for?
No, if she picks Ben, that's just really good kindling for the fire that they will hump in front of later.
Well, so at the end of these dates, she ends up going back to her room, which I always think this should be the fantasy suite date right before the decision.
That would be weird, though.
Well, I guess, yeah,
with her family around.
And it's the night before the big decision. So
the big decision happens that night.
Yeah. So then they show the guys picking out the rings, and it cracks me up. They have Neil Lane there, the jeweler guy, and he's always questioning them about, you know, what they think about her and what they think she's going to say. And it's like he's playing therapist for these guys. It's hysterical. Where the first couple seasons he was on, he would just, you know, show them the rings and, oh, this one's a cushion cut, blah, blah, blah. Now they don't even talk about the rings. He's being totally therapist for them.
That's true.
So Ben picked out this one that had these little twirly things on the side and big, pretty, fat diamond. And then JP picked out one that's a little more delicate, but still had a big old fat diamond on it. So they show them all getting ready, and her getting dressed, the guy's getting dressed, and the guy's flying to where she's at. She's out on a beach, surrounded by flowers.
No, go ahead.
And she's talking about the guys and how she's so sad because she feels really bad. She's not going to see this one again. And usually they leave it a little more up in the air about, is the first one going to be the one she picks or is it not? Because they kind of mix it up every year. This time they're completely coming out saying this is the one she's going to let go. And you see Ben get out of the airplane. So he comes in and he starts giving her his whole pitch about, you know, you're great and I love you and blah, blah, blah. Gets down on one knee and proposes.
No. She's just about to say something, and you can see by the look on her face that she is sad and upset. And she's like, "Bah," and he's like, no, let me do this. And then he drops down to one knee. And it's like, you could just see the train jumping the track and running right into the school bus of kindergartners. It's like, it was like in slow motion.
Okay, so this was your favorite part of the whole night, so I'll let you tell Ben's reaction.
Oh, Ben reacted quite possibly the most honest and mature and visceral way he could have. And she said no. And he got up.
I guess that's it then.
And yeah, I guess we're done here then. And he turns around and just starts walking away. He's a good 6 or 7 steps in front of her before she even has, like,
processed
the fact that he is walking away. And she's, like, trying to run behind him. Wait, I want to walk you out. And he's like, why? What purpose is this serving? And the gist of the conversation after that was that she was trying to sugarcoat, you know, well, I really liked you and I really cared about you. And he's like, look, it's over. It has ended. Well, it doesn't have to end this way. And he's like, all good things end badly. all good things that end, end badly. And that's just the way it is. You know, and
I never thought of that, but it's kind of true.
Yeah.
Because if it's a good thing, you don't end it.
Right.
So it must end badly.
Yeah. So it's ending, and it's ending badly. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to make me feel better, because you know what? I don't want to feel better right now. I just had my heart broken. You can't make it better. If you want to make it better, you would have said yes. And I thought that was awesome and honest and real. It wasn't shock. It wasn't... he could have punched her in the face. I mean, if it was Lucas, it would have been, there would have been a street fight. He would have walked her out to the street, and they would have fought.
So they show poor Ben walking down like this dirt road all by himself. Gets in like this little dinghy boat because he's going through the ocean, bouncing along the waves. And then they go to this wide shot, and you see her in the front watching him on a little boat bouncing along the ocean. And then make it even
worse. She waves.
An airplane comes over, and it's the airplane that's supposed to have JP in it, supposedly. I mean, it looked like the same plane.
Yeah, I like how she waved. And it's like, I would have loved to see him.
I don't think she waved it.
Blurred out the finger. Oh, yes, yes, she did. Yes, she did.
I don't think she did. She waved at the plane when JP came in.
She did wave at the plane when JP came in. Maybe that's what it was.
So then JP comes in, and it's all happy, happy. Googly
yeah,
eyes.
She practically jumped his bones when he walked up.
So
yeah, and the whole, this was what was so terrible about the setup for the episode and then the episode itself. She's sitting there saying, as JP is approaching, as the plane approaches and as he's walking up, oh, you know, I'm putting myself out there. I don't know if he's going to accept my rose. I don't know if he's going to propose. Except that all the advertising leading up to tonight said, both men will propose. Come on. Come on.
So he proposes, and then they show them running happily out into the ocean, blah, blah, blah. And the funniest part was after they do the big montage of all the scenes
it's
from the whole
season. It's a montage.
They show the two of them walking along the beach. They kind of pan out. And
oh, no, no.
Jim, what?
As Ben was leaving, he's like, I don't know what the F just happened.
Yeah, that was funny too. Well, at the end, when she's with JP, and she says, so when did you know, or something? And she asks, what did you think of that first night? And he came in and says, you came in and said, my husband's in this room somewhere. And he was just like, I thought, what the F is this girl talking about?
Yeah.
So then, even after that, then they're talking about where they were going to go next or something. And she goes, to my bed.
Yeah. All right. Then they did the After the Rose.
Yeah, that was really nothing. It was, they're happy, happy, joy, joy. And
her sister really isn't a bitch.
Ben came, and he still seemed kind of pissy.
I don't think he was busy. I think he wanted an answer. I think it was unrealistic for him to expect any answers. And she was...
not forthcoming with anything else.
Yeah, what is she going to say?
Right.
You know? You're not going to get a good answer. It's stupid to ask the question at that point, so...
You didn't do it for me like he did. Sorry.
She chose either length or girth over the other.
You're horrible. It does not get that far. I choose to believe that.
One of them didn't get that far.
Okay, on to Big Brother.
Lots
of Big Brother.
Let's do this like lightning round style. We've got like 8 episodes worth of Big Brother happened.
We'll take it by week, so we won't do an episode.
It's like two weeks.
2.5 weeks, so.
All right.
When we last left Big Brother, Jordan was HOH, and Adam and Dominic had been nominated.
And then we knew that.
Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah,
we knew Dominic had won veto.
Uh-huh. He won veto.
Was that thing where they had to walk across the plank with chewing the gum?
Yes, and Adam threw it.
Okay, oh yeah.
And Dominic wasn't going to, and he won. He pulled them off the block.
And Cassie and Shelley went up.
And everybody was pissed at Jordan because...
Well, Rachel was.
Well, Rachel was because Dominic and Adam weren't supposed to go up in the block in the first place.
And then Jordan wouldn't continue in the gum competition. Take the slot pass. Because if they fell off, they had to walk across his plane.
That's right.
And if they fell off the plane.
Right. And then there was a big fight over that.
Because Rachel went in. Rachel went in and took the slot pass. Because if you fell off the plank, took 2 weeks on slop, you could get back up and try again. So Rachel fell off, tried again. Jordan fell off. And Jeff's like, don't you dare, because she was so far behind, there was no way she was going to catch up anyway.
Right.
What's the point of going on 2 weeks of slop?
Yeah, it was foolish to go on slop at that point.
So Rachel said some kind of snotty thing about, why are we even trying if the HOH won't? So then Jeff got mad at her, screamed at her. After the competition, she went and hid in a bush out in the backyard. I was crying. So Rachel's hiding in the bush crying, and everybody's just laughing at her, hiding in there, and Brendan's trying to make her feel better about the competition and everything. So, get her calmed down and get her back in the house. Then what happened after that?
Then they did, the guys, after that was the veto meeting, and then
Dominic pulled them off, and Cassie and Shelley went up.
Right. Yeah. Cassie Shelley went up.
Cassie went home.
Cassie knew she was going home because Cassie had been
everybody's
fighting with Rachel.
Right.
Well,
Rachel doesn't like her because she's
Rachel
pretty.
Doesn't like her because she's pretty. Cassie told her that. Right. Then Rachel went and cried to Jordan about it, and Jordan said, "Shut up. You can come off like a bitch sometimes."
That's awesome.
That was very cool.
So
Jordan is quickly becoming my favorite personality. Maybe not player, maybe not person, but her personality this season.
She's awesome. I love Jordan.
She is.
She's hysterical.
No, she's grown more of a spine, and it's awesome because nobody expects it. Like, she will come up and just, like, slap you in the face with something hilarious every so often.
So then they had an HOH competition that night after Cassie got kicked off, and it was answering these questions that the producers had put out online about, who do you think would steal somebody else's boyfriend? And I don't remember what some of the other questions are. Who needs fashion help the most and stuff? Yeah. So then they were given choices between two house guests and had to guess what did the majority of the voters say.
Right.
And Rachel won.
Yes, so she won HOH again. And shortly after that, I learned that she has never lost an HOH competition that she was eligible for.
I think I may have told you that.
No, she said it.
I told you that.
No, she said it. She said it on the show. Rachel said, "I've never lost that." And I was like,
after
seriously?
I told you that.
No.
Yeah.
No, Rachel said it.
You just can't ever let me be right.
Nope.
Okay.
Moving on.
So then she put up Adam and Dominic.
Again.
And Brendan won the veto. They had this hysterical competition where they had, like, this big woman in a bathtub out in the backyard that had these huge hairs out of her legs that were made out of, like, pool noodles.
Yes.
And they had to go yank the hairs out of her legs, and there was a letter at the end of it. And so that they had to grab all these letters and then try and spell the longest word.
And Rachel
and
was...
And Jeff was in this competition. The one Jeff and Jordan went to the house, and he spelled Technotronics.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rachel was hell-bent on winning, and she thought she did.
And
she spelled the word wrong. I don't even remember what it was.
Dominic was trying to throw it, because they had told him, throw it, and you're safe.
Right. And at the time, they thought he was safe.
Right.
Then it started... Realizations started setting in.
The rest of the house realized that Danielle and Dominic were together.
Yeah.
And somehow it got back to Jeff that Danielle wanted to backdoor him. And use Brendan and Rachel to do that.
Right.
Finally, Brendan, Rachel, Jeff, and Jordan met up and realized where all this was coming from. And so they got tight again, closed that gap in their alliance, and Dominic was gone.
Yes.
To weaken Danielle.
Right.
Because at that time, she still had a golden key, and they couldn't do anything to her.
Yes, and then the golden keys go away. And Dominic's gone.
So then they had an HOH that night. Was that the beginning of the endurance competition?
Yes.
When Dominic was gone?
Yes.
They all had to stand up on this wall, on these little tiny platforms that moved the wall moved and made him go forward, and then their feet swished back and forth, kind of like they were supposedly skiing.
Skiing, yeah.
And they shot snow at him, and the wall moved back and forth, and bit by bit everybody fell until Danielle won.
Yes. Well, and the only other interesting thing to note about that competition was how ridiculously one-sided all the cheering and the rooting for people was. Everyone was rooting for everyone but Kalia and Danielle.
And then what's funny, I was watching it after dark, and then Kalia was complaining, I think it was Kalia, that when it got down to just, like, the last three people, because it was the last three, Portia, Kalia, Danielle, everybody went in the house and just stopped cheering, and they just bailed on them and just left. They didn't really show that so much on the show, but...
Well, that happens sometimes, especially at the long endurance competitions. I've seen that
this
before.
This wasn't that long. This wasn't one this of those one was that went not, all that long.
This one wasn't
I mean, it was
long.
2 hours. When they go inside, it's one of those ones where it goes all night long.
Yeah, because I've turned the Big Brother After Dark on after one of those nights where they
it
started
was, it was over
challenge.
Long before After Dark came on. Yeah. So it didn't go that long. I think it went like a 2 hour thing. And Danielle has nominated Rachel and Brendan.
Surprise, surprise.
But missed it because the freaking president was on the other night.
The other interesting thing about that competition, about the endurance challenge, was that there was not a luxury competition.
Oh, that's right.
Because as people were eliminated, as they fell off the wall, they got to pick a snowball. Yeah. And in the snowball were either... There was one that was, you have to wear an elf costume, and Adam won that.
He's been really funny in that.
There was, people have to become have-nots, and then there was a $10,000 prize, and
Jeff won that.
And Jeff even joked as soon as he got it, he's like, well, I guess I'm going home now. immediately after the competition, well, the way they edited it, Danielle pulled Jeff and Jordan aside and said, look, I have no problem with you guys. And she said, I will not put you up if you promise not to put me up if one of you win next week.
Right. Yeah, only have like a 1 week deal.
I want 1 week. And you know what? That's reasonable. Making 1 week deals, I think that's appropriate.
That's
and
much
smart.
Smarter than the whole season.
Because then you're not betraying anyone. Mm-hmm. You don't have the onus of betrayal hoisted upon you. And what's funny is Jeff's like, fine, I don't want to know your plans.
Right.
Don't tell me anything else.
Because they know it's going to be Brendan and Rachel.
This is a deal. Don't tell me anything, because if you tell me something because of other deals I've made, I'll have to say something. Don't tell me anything. And she said, fine, I won't.
Yeah, that was smart.
That was great. I thought that was... Jeff has been playing the game very smart.
I love Jeff and Jordan. You always laughed at me, but they're awesome.
Taking a step back into when Dominic got booted, the last thing that happened is Dominic got booted. They play the little videos at the end as they say goodbye.
Yeah.
And Jeff and Jordan are there together making the video, and Jordan says, yeah, we knew that we saw that you were coming for Jeff. And she says, and as somebody would say, nobody gets between me and my man.
Totally making fun of Rachel.
Yeah, totally making fun of Rachel. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. See, she's great.
And wasn't there something in this one, too, that she said? I don't remember.
Sorry.
No, I thought there was something else she said in this one, but I don't remember now.
She did, I don't remember. She said something that was a dirty joke, and she didn't realize it. I don't remember what it was. They have had the veto ceremony, but we're not going to say who won.
Because one of us has not been spoiled yet.
Yes, one of us has. So
I know something happened because the way, the expression you had in your face.
I think I went, no way!
Yeah. This is not going to be a spoiler for anybody listening because we'll already have known at this point.
I can whisper it into the microphone.
No, don't, because I have to edit. Unless you want to edit this episode, no, don't do that, please. Yeah, so you had this big reaction. So I think it only fair to assume that somebody got the veto and used it.
I'm not saying a word. Okay, so that's it for Big Brother. Expedition Impossible. I don't remember anything that's happened.
Fortunately,
they're walking through the desert a lot.
Fortunately, Wikipedia remembers everything. All right, so in the previous week's episode, that was the one titled Blind Man's Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
At the first checkpoint, they go to an artist's tent where they had to draw a map on
the henna tattoo thing.
They had to do the henna tattoo of the map.
That was funny.
And what did they say? It was going to last like 2 months or 6 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, it'll last for a while. So they have to pick the biggest part on some person's body. So some of them, they're picking these guys' tummies and drawing the henna tattoo on them. The girls,
it was
one
smart,
of the girls
though.
Picked their thigh.
Yeah, the thigh was smart. The stomach was smart.
Because then it's not covered by the backpack.
Well, yeah, some people were picking the backpack, and it was a bad idea because it was covered.
Right.
So they did that. Then the teams had to use the map to navigate 6 miles to the Atlas Mountains to a 200-foot-high cliff overlooking the Petrified Canyon, then rappel down the cliff once they got there. From there, they...
I don't remember any drama there.
Yeah, I don't remember there being much. There might have been, but again, this was 2 weeks ago. So, and we're taking most of this from notes on Wikipedia. Spoiler. That's how we do things.
We are so organized.
Checkpoint two, they traverse the Petrified Canyon Pass to a riverbed location. And the challenge there is to comb through the riverbed to find a rock with
a fish that was funny.
Fossil on it. Now, there was stuff that happened here because they had to find the rock with a fish fossil. Then they had to trade the fossil in at the local market for a fish dinner.
They had to walk all the way into town and trade the
but
rock.
But all they knew is they had to find the fossil. What some of the teams read it as find the fossil, then go to the fish market to get the fish dinner. What they didn't pay attention to was that they
take
had to trade that fossil. Yeah. So some of them found it and then pitched it into the river and walked to the fish market.
And then had to go back.
Forcing them to walk
another.
All the way back and and
that was the cops and
No Limits. No Limits and the cops did that.
Oh, No Limits did it?
Yeah.
The blind team?
Yep.
Or the blind guy team.
Yep. The teams, okay, so they got their fish dinner. Then they had a puzzle I think they camped overnight at that point. The next day, they had to solve a puzzle with instructions on how to get to the next checkpoint and hike 5 miles up the river. And that's where the title Blind Man's Nightmare came from, because it was a pretty treacherous hike. Like really weird locations, up and down rocks. There was loose rocks in the water. Everything was really slippery. Yeah. It was rough for Eric.
Yeah, that's the one that had the like slime covered rocks.
Right, and he was like,
and they were like having to crawl through like this tunnel that the river went through. It was bad.
Yeah, it was rough. It would have been rough just on a 5 mile hike to be doing this, let alone be doing it blind. Then they had to use their fingers to extract a key from a Moroccan mountain register.
Oh, yeah, it was like a big, tall box that had holes in, and they had to use their fingers and move them up and get this thing
out. Once they unlocked the box, it had a rappel rope that they needed to get to the riverbed below, and then there was a race to the finish line. In that one, the California girls and the New York firemen were the ones that ended up being... At the end, they were pretty much in last. This was the first time that the Porn Stashes did not win first place. Fab 3 did. Fab 3 won first. The Porn Stashes were in second, but one of the guys in the Porn Stashes
hurt his foot,
and that may have been why they did
their last trek to the finish line or whatever.
Right.
Was really rocky, and he twisted his ankle on a rock.
Right. And they had even been saying, watch your ankles, and he fell. But it got down to the California girls and the New York firemen, and the California girls had been helped in the past by the New York firemen. And the New York firemen ended up losing. The California girls came in eighth. So that was the previous week. Then this past week was called Leap of Faith. During the first checkpoint, they had to use a hand line to cross the river before heading into town to find the local rug stall. From there, they had to dig through the rugs to find a rug with five large holes in it And then there was like local traffic signs or something.
Travel signs.
And then they had to hold them up to those signs until they found one where the holes matched up words on these
travel signs. Like, go to the waterfall or something.
Go to the riverbed.
River.
Or go to the waterfall. You're right. Go to the waterfall. and then the Fab Three went from being first to
last. Didn't they leave there last?
No, the fishermen ended up leaving last.
No, they left the rug tent last. They found the rug tent last. But the fishermen couldn't figure out how to get the rug. Yeah, because sometimes you had to like turn it backwards and upside down or whatever and find the right sign to make it work.
Yes.
And so they found the rug first, but then Fab 3 figured out the sign.
Right.
But they were there and had a head start to look for this rug and then still was last leaving the rug tent. It was funny.
So then they went on foot to the Uzud Falls. Everything they said, just go to the waterfalls. But Wikipedia tells me what those falls are and provides a link if I want to know more information.
Somebody spends way too much time on Wikipedia entering all this stuff about this show.
Yeah. The teams then were
it's
given the option.
Porn stashes, maintaining the Wikipedia site.
Making sure that everybody knows of their triumphant deeds. the teams were then given the option to either jump off the 30-foot cliff or to climb down using ropes. The obvious thing is if you're afraid of heights, it's probably easier for you to climb down, but jumping is quicker.
Right.
Go figure. Falling 30 feet is quicker than climbing down 30 feet. Once they did that, then they zip-lined across the river to get their next set of instructions. They had to unlock a set of paddles by memorizing symbol on the lock. This one, they were given a, there was a series of locks that had symbols on them. Then they had to go to a nearby cave, like swimming.
Oh, I remember that. And they'd get
you
there
could only
and
get
somebody
one
didn't
key.
Remember their symbol.
There, you can only get one key, but people thought, I need to get the monkey. Well, you get there, and there was like four different monkeys. You know, like there was a scorpion. Well, one of them had the scorpion's tail pointing to the left, one had the tail pointing to the right. So if all you thought was scorpion,
right,
you might not have gotten it right. And many of them did not. Many of them had
to
go back.
So they had to go back and forth?
Right. I think almost everybody got it on the second try, but there were a number of teams that did not get it on the first. There were some that did, though, too. So they got their paddle, then they got to kayak down some rapids using GPS to navigate to a goat cave.
And that was pretty dangerous. There were people flipping over.
The kayaking was rough.
It was white waters.
I cannot imagine how Eric
does
that.
I mean,
that had to have been just... You're on a river just floating. I can't imagine how terrifying that is. Just going.
Even knowing his friends there, if they're trying to hang on over whatever. I mean, one slip and he's gone.
Yeah, yeah. So from there, they're able to spot... So when they get to the goat cave, they're told, turn around and look. You can see the flags. That's where the final location is. So then they track to the final location. The porn stashes regained first place. Fab 3 went from last back to second.
Yeah, they made up some time.
They made up a lot of time. And the fishermen had a rough go of it through most of it. They had a hard time on the kayaks. They had a hard time walking. And they did end up in eighth place. And that was last place, so they were booted.
Yeah, I wasn't sorry to see them go.
No, they weren't. I think as one of the other contestants, but they're not the sharpest utensils in the drawer. All right, next up.
Glee. I can't do it with this
voice. The Glee Project.
That's pretty sad when your voice can be higher than mine.
That is pretty sad. All right, so the previous week, we had Tenacity, where we had Karofsky come out, and they did their slushy
Oh, yeah.
Video. They did, their homework assignment was Bulletproof by LaRue. Marissa won that.
I like Marissa.
Then for their music video, they did Ice Ice Baby. Well, I take that back. They did a mashup of Ice Ice Baby and Under Pressure.
Right.
Which is weird because it's really the same song.
Not all parts of it.
No, because according to Vanilla Ice, it goes doom 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 doom. That is what makes it different. I actually saw an interview back when the court case was going on that he actually was saying that on an interview, and I was like, dude, just write him a check.
Fork over the cash.
Just write him a check. So they did that. The folks that got pulled to do the Last Chance recital were Alex, Marissa, and Cameron. Cameron was just freezing. He just couldn't take the cold. I remember that.
Oh, because this was the icy.
This
episode.
Was the icy where they got they got icy in the face.
Yeah, and so he kept making them stop production, and so they put him in the bottom three because of that.
He was the only one that made them stop production, right. And nobody else did. Marissa was just less awesome than normal.
Yeah, was that their was excuse. Stupid.
That was
it
weird.
It made no sense.
And then Alex.
She's
was
not
back
as
yet.
Electric as she usually is. Okay.
And then Alex was back in there again. Alex performed "And I Am Telling You I'm Not Going"
from Dreamgirls.
From Dreamgirls. Marissa did "Hate on Me" from Jill Scott, and Cameron did "Love Can Wait" by Cameron Mitchell.
From him.
That was an original song.
They picked songs that they had auditioned with.
Right.
So that's how they picked those three songs for him.
Right. And Alex came out in drag again and nailed it.
Was this the first time he'd been in drag?
No, it's not the first time he'd been in drag, but it was the first time
he
was in drag.
Oh, yeah, because he did it the Chicago one in drag.
For Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, the Chicago one was not for Ryan.
That was in the video.
Right, right. Marissa did "Hate on Me," and it was okay.
I liked her.
I actually liked Cameron's original song. I thought it was pretty decent.
I don't like Cameron.
Well,
he bugs me.
Is what it is.
Ryan Murphy did not agree because he didn't kick him off.
True. Marissa got kicked off. I have a feeling Marissa got kicked off because she was pretty and that was about all she had going for her.
She had a really good voice.
She was a great performer, but they don't need another Cheerio.
Right.
And that would have pretty much been her role. There really wasn't anything else.
And that's what Ryan keeps saying is, oh, I wouldn't know how to write for you, or I know exactly how to write for you.
And some of them are pretty obvious. I mean, some of them, they're very obvious how you would write for them.
Alex would be Mercedes. They already have Mercedes.
He'd be a cross between Mercedes and Kurt.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
All right,
they already have Mercedes and Kurt that are like best friends. They don't need someone that's a combination Mercedes and Kurt.
He's their love child.
Ew.
Sent through a time machine. Mercedes did think they were going to date.
That's true, because she didn't believe he was gay.
That's right. So Marissa got booted,
and then we move on to sexuality.
And the homework assignment was
at least
like a virgin.
This week they understood what sexuality meant, because Tenacity Week, none of them understood what tenacity meant.
No, none of them.
They all thought it meant just be obnoxious and in your face.
They thought it meant attitude, and that's not what it means. That is not the meaning of tenacity. I wish somebody would have told them that.
Well, at one point, Hannah even says, maybe we should get out a dictionary and look up the meaning of the word.
I really wish they would have. It would have gone a long way. So the judges, the guest judge / mentors, because there were two of them this time, Mark Salling and Ashley Fink, who are Puck and Lauren Zices.
Yes.
Yeah, Zices. Their homework assignment, again, was Like a Virgin, and they were being, sexual.
It was like a big old groping orgy on the piano, yeah.
Yeah, everybody
it was good,
like,
though. Everybody did a really good job.
It was actually for the homework assignment, I thought it was one of the most fluid homework assignments as far as how everyone interacted together.
Uh-huh. Because they'd pair up with one couple, and then one would go over to somebody else that had just been with another couple, and the other one would go to the other one. And so everybody was all together. That's why it was all orgy-like.
Yeah, and it was really fluid and very orgy-like, yeah. Samuel
won
that.
Not that we have any experience with that. What?
Oh, so we're telling people that now?
Would you stop?
Samuel won.
And then, what's-her-face, Lindsay, was very upset about that because she thought she was the most sexual.
Yeah, whatever. Samuel won, and they paired everyone up again for the video. Uh-huh. And the video was Teenage Dream. And they had a series of vignettes that they kind of contrasted and showed how, in these three different vignettes, the same kinds of things were happening, but in different ways with different people.
Right.
So Samuel got Alex as his partner.
And they were like in a garage band or something.
Yeah. Cameron got Hannah as his partner. And they were, like, in a kitchen, and they had, like, food.
They were supposed to have a food fight. A sexy food fight.
And then Damien and Lindsay. Was it Lindsay? Yeah, uh-huh. Lindsay. Damien and Lindsay.
Were a football player and a cheerleader
in a bedroom. So they performed, and the song was good. I didn't really buy Samuel and Alex.
No.
Samuel was kind of standoffish, actually. And Alex was trying way too hard.
He was being super flamboyant. But they did say that he did that, and then when they gave him some direction to pull it back, he did get better.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, it's almost like he's trying too hard to show how gay he is. And then Lindsay and Damien were okay.
I thought they were good. I liked them a lot.
They were okay. There were times where it felt a little bit staged. It didn't. The chemistry wasn't as apparent with them. And then Hannah and Cameron. At first, it was a little weird, but it actually got pretty sexy.
I didn't think so.
I mean,
they just kept taking fingers full of food and just smearing on each other's face. It was weird.
Yeah, but then toward the end, they really started. They were interacting a lot more, and it was a lot more sensual how they were doing it. They never got to the point of kissing, which was
Cameron won't kiss,
especially not Hannah. And Hannah's all bent out of shape because she wanted Damien. Oh God, she wants Damien in like the most terrible and nasty of ways. And Lindsay got her rotten little mitts on him. Hannah needs to
back off a little.
Take a step toward reality. That's what she needs to do. She's, yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
So they get down to final three.
And those final three were Alex, Cameron, and Damien. And Lindsay was sure that she was going to be in the bottom three. Because they actually, they had him down to those four and Lindsay. And she was safe. They assigned them all songs, and the way they did it was basically they assigned them based on the characters they thought that they would play in Glee. So Alex got I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor, and Cameron got Blackbird by the Beatles, and Damien got Danny Boy, the traditional Irish very sad song.
I don't understand why that song is so sad.
Did you not listen to the words?
I guess not. You know I don't listen to words of songs.
It's a funeral dirge.
Why do you think I'm letting the 3-year-old sing that Betta Rosa song about the dying kid?
Yeah, that's weird too. All right, so.
So right after they sing, did Cameron start saying that he wanted to go?
No, they sang.
Did they get that far?
They sang, and then after Cameron's performance. Ryan
always has a little interview.
Yeah, he has a little interview with him, and he says, you know, I understand that you wouldn't kiss. What are we going to do about that? You know, I understand your conviction, and that's one of the things I really like about you. I like your conviction, and I like your morals, and I think that's something we can work with. We don't have a conservative Christian character on the show. There is not a conservative character on the show. And I really think that I could write for you. You are a solid character that I could write for on the show.
But he can write that character for anybody. It doesn't have to be an actual conservative Christian playing that part.
No, but I mean, that's part of this show, is to find people that match, that their personality and their story matches a character.
Yeah.
Just because it's easier to write for him then. And it's easier for that person to act in that role. But his hang-up was, hey, if I have a direction that you're dating Lea Michele's character in the show and you need to kiss, I don't want to have to come down and talk you down from, because now all of a sudden you won't kiss her if that's part of the way the direction the show is going to take. And Cameron pretty much said, thanks, I think I'll go now. And Ryan tried to talk him out of it. He went to his room, which was, you know, has unprecedented. Gave him a hug, and they talked about it some more. And
Cameron said no.
Cameron
sure.
said no. I'm sure. I think I'm ready to go.
Ryan says, "Are you sure? Because you're saving Damien this week."
Yeah, that was. I thought that was really interesting because most of the time on a show like this,
they won't
say who's going to go. So they mentioned it there. Then Cameron went back to the room with the others and told everyone, "Hey, I'm leaving." And I, you know, he said that Damien would have been gone. So they said it twice.
Well, then even Damien with him, when they posted the callback list, they had everybody called back.
Yeah.
And then the not callback was Damien crossed out, and Cameron was writing his own name in there.
Yeah. Well, Cameron crossed it out and wrote his name. So he quit. He's officially marked down as quit from the show. Next episode is Believability, and the homework assignment is True Colors by Cyndi Lauper. The music video is The Only Exception by Paramore.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guest judge is Jenna Ushkowitz, or Tina Cohen Chang.
Yeah.
So, Hell's Kitchen?
Hell's Kitchen. I don't have much to say about Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
People are
screaming at each other.
I think there's a couple
more. It's gonna be a couple more weeks before anything.
I still don't know
really
gets names.
Down.
It's still the blonde girl and the crabby girl.
Elise is the mouthy, the mouthy one. Tommy is the one that looks kind of like.
Is he the tattooed dude?
He's the tattooed one who looks kind of like Maggie's brother.
Jake Gyllenhaal. He does not look like Jake Gyllenhaal.
He does. He looks like...
Oh, my God. No, he's terrifying.
Look at him. Jake Gyllenhaal, if he put a greasy wig on and some fake tattoos on, he could totally play that guy in a movie.
Well, there's like the redneck guy, too.
I like him.
I don't remember his name at all.
Is that Jonathan?
I have no idea.
I think that's Jonathan. And then Monterey, who can't cook to save his life. He keeps getting put up for getting booted. And then there's Carrie, who all the girls dislike. Carrie and Elise have great conflict, so...
Carrie was the one that was all flirty with Ramsey at the beginning.
Yes, and ended up flirting with one of the guys who ended up getting booted, Brendan, I think.
Yeah.
So, over the last couple of weeks, over the last couple of episodes, because...
They've been doing two episodes a week.
Yeah, they're doing two episodes a week, so I'm not sure exactly where we left it off. But in the third episode of the season, let's see, Amanda got booted, then Chino, then Gina, and the episode that aired tonight, which we haven't watched, but it's not a big surprise, considering how everything's gone down, Monterey is getting booted. So
they didn't have any spectacular... You know, big fights or great rewards or bad punishments. It's kind of just been usual.
Yeah, it's...
Not a whole lot.
It's all pretty standard. The most interesting thing playing out right now on the girls' side is Carrie and Elise. Everybody says Carrie can't cook, but everybody hates Elise because she's just mouthy and disruptive and very much self-centered in that everybody comes back from... a bad service, and the first thing out of her mouth is, I did good, I'm not going out. Like, who are we going to put up? Should we put up Gina? It's not me. I'm not going out. I know I'm good. You don't say I'm not good. And how can you say I'm not good? Nobody said that. Would you shut up and help us pick who's going out? What are you telling me to shut up? You think I'm bad? You think I can't do this? Shut up. Shut up. So, it's going to be amazing if she makes it through the season without getting punched in the face. That could have been something interesting happening tonight that we just hadn't seen.
Maybe. Never know.
All right. Is this the last one? Love in the Wild?
Last one. Love in the Wild.
Let's just skip ahead to this week because...
Okay. Because I don't remember last week.
Yeah. Last week... Oh. It was Jessica. The one I was mistakenly calling Kim the troll.
You were calling... But she was the pretty kind of Asian-y girl.
Right. I was mistaken last episode calling her the troll. Jessica. Jessica
was
the troll.
There's two Jessicas.
No, there's Jess and there's Jessica. Okay. Yeah. Jessica is the troll face. And she was just like mouthy and bossy and...
Yeah, she ended up not picking her partner and then they both went home.
Yeah, because she was with Jason. Right, she was with Jason. She
didn't like that he was nice. He was bringing her flowers. Ugh,
I don't,
how dare he?
Yeah, I can't stand a guy who's nice to me. And poor Jason, he was just out of place in this show because he just wants to go on a date with a nice girl.
He just liked everybody. Everybody got paired with. He thought it was really cool. Wanted to get to know him better. And they just hate him.
Now, granted, he was a little clingy.
Yeah.
And some of these women are just weird, like Jessica. So this week, they're down to six couples. And at this point, pretty much everybody has coupled up. And with the exception of Jessica, who rejected Jason... And then Jason asked somebody, and they said no. So they ended up getting booted last week. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's how it happened. And then the last place team, who was...
Erica and Steele.
Yeah.
Because they thought they were going to get broken up, but they ended up staying together.
Right, they ended up staying together because the other
two... They both rejected...
Yeah, they rejected the others, and they the rejected couple left. So the six couples were all together, and they started off the episode by saying, you all have to take new partners. So all the teams got shuffled, and then they competed. And the competition was they had to do a series of things, ending in getting a huge block of wood that was like a totem.
A tiki idol kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, but it was apparently heavy. And then they had to carry it running like up some stairs toward the finish. Well,
Derek
dropped his on his toe and then immediately started swearing, that's a fair reaction. Probably the second most fair reaction I've seen in any reality show this week. Second only
to Ben.
Because, you know, he may have been playing the swearing up for the television. Though when he pulled his shoe off, and there was a puddle of blood. Gosh. Yeah, there's blood flowing out of his toe. They showed the dirt under his toe, and it was a completely different color. The dirt was a completely different color. And he had broken his toe. So he ended up hobbling to the finish line, and they ended up getting in third place before he got hauled off in an ambulance. Skip and... Who was Skip with this week?
I think Jess. Because she's supposed to be with Derek.
Yes. Skip and Jess pass them. And they're in first... Derek and...
Erica
were in first when his accident happened. Skip and Jess pass them, checked on them, and then kept running. And then they start talking. She's like... I've been to the Oasis. And he's like, yeah, and I really
that's only want to go. For winning. It's like the really nice room with its own pool and all that stuff.
Right, and then they get first pick
yeah.
of their next date. And he said, you know, I pretty much don't want to go there unless I'm going with Teresa. So let's just let the next couple win. And Ben and
Samantha
got that. So they won. They get to go to the Oasis. And then the rest of the couples come in. Ben and Samantha seem to have a decent time. They get drunk.
Having a good time. But nothing happened.
No, nothing happened. But they just enjoyed each other's company. They didn't mope about not being with their partner. But they did just enjoy meeting somebody new.
There was a swim up bar. That was cool.
That was kind of cool. Yeah. Jess was all stressed out about Derek's absence.
Yeah, he didn't come back all night long.
Because he did not come back.
Even though he was staying with Erica, because each of the new couples was spending the night together.
Right. At one point, was it Skip and Teresa that were cuddled up in the hammock?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was them.
Trying to hide from everybody.
Because Ben called him out drunk, as he was. Hey, Skip! Who are you in there with?
Oh, that was Ben?
Yes.
Even though he was supposed to be in the super special Oasis room?
Well, because after they had their drinks and everything, Samantha said, hey, let's go down to the cabin and say hi to everybody. So they go back. As it turns out, Derek, his foot is messed up to the point where he cannot come back to the game.
He's got an open wound that's too prone to infection.
Yeah, so with all the outside stuff that they're doing, it's not worth it. So they eliminate him on the spot. But he comes up and he has something to say. He tells Jess that, hey, I had a really good time. Yeah. Come visit me in L.A.
And Jess, I feel like he's just a player.
Hey, he probably is. So then they start going down the line and everybody's going back to all their partners. Ben asks Brandy about it. Now, Brandy has been having conversation with
Miles.
Was that who she was with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Brandy was with Miles. She has a conversation with him and she's like, I like the guy, but I don't get a read from him. Yeah, I don't get a read from him. He's not trying to kiss me. I don't know what's going on.
Miles is all, he's not into you.
Yeah. He's just not that into you. Here's a book. It's all about that. So they go back and he asks her and she turns him down. First shot, she turns him down. She says, look, I need to know if this is more than just friends, because if it's not, let's move on.
Right. Of course, there's nobody to move on to, because they've all coupled up.
So he goes to the
Unmatched area.
The unmatched area. Everybody else is pairing back up with their old couples. They get up to Jess, and she gets to pick. And she says, you know what? If I can't be with Derek, I'm just basically the seventh wheel here. So I'm not going to break up another couple. That's not cool. And I'm not really interested in anybody enough to want to break them up. So I'm just going to put myself in the unmatched area and see what happens. So they get all the way down to
Brandy.
And she puts herself in the unmatched area.
So now you got Jess, Brandy, and Ben. And Brandy and Ben were partners.
Right.
All in the unmatched area.
All in the unmatched area. And then the host says, all right, here's the deal. If a match doesn't happen, all three of you are going home. And so Ben says, look, you know, I'm sorry, I screwed up. I really do like you. This is a weird situation. But yeah, I do like you. I want to hang out with you more. I want to keep getting to know you. Will you go out with me? And
she agreed.
She agreed. So they're all hunky-dory. Jess gets to leave. And that's that.
The end.
We're done.
For the night.
And we're going to be done now because
I am sleepy tired.
After 11 o'clock, you need to go to bed. I need to record two more podcasts tonight. Good night.
Good night.